For the past few weeks, I've been lighting a small wooden match each day. This spiritual practice helps me to set an intention for the day, and it helps me to pause, to try and be fully present for just a few seconds while my match is burning. I think about what's burning inside me, about burning food in order to live, and burning oxygen in order to breathe. And as author Gunilla Norris points out, how could our wills, our hearts, and our souls not be furnaces also? There is, in fact, a lot burning inside me these days. After brain surgery this summer and living into my new normal that includes being deaf in one ear and retraining my brain to balance and my eyes to see and focus, I'm all about noticing in new ways what is burning in me and in others, and what it means to burn and be illumined by the light of Christ, who lives and abides in our hearts and souls. And how many of us feel like we're just burning through the days and weeks in our daily lives, very sure that we're doing too much, but in our busyness, not thinking what life is truly about? Today we celebrate All Saints, remembering the lives of holy ones and the challenges of faith that burned inside them. Look around at our stained glass windows, and you'll see some of the church's greats. Open the newspaper today, and we're sure to read about and recognize the holy and the heroic in the everyday men and women who are first responders, who risk their lives for others, and who serve communities in their selfless ways. Rather than see and respond to only darkness, can we also look and notice what's bringing light into this world, even in spite of the darkness? Look at our own community here at St. Luke's, where so many have served in this congregation, and some of their names are on the wall plaques. There's no one definition of sainthood these days, but there does seem to be a sense of sacred power and transcendence that is illumined by a source that's beyond a saint's ordinary life that makes life extraordinary. After I light my morning match, I say some prayers, look at scripture lessons, and then I read from a book about all sorts of saints, priests and poets, monks and mystics, martyrs and missionaries, philosophers and theologians. In an overly simple nutshell, to be a saint usually involves an uncompromising commitment and willingness to sacrifice everything for the love and sake of following Christ. I think we need the inspiration and the commitment from the saints more than ever now. The world does feel darker these days, dismembered by divisions and doubt. These times feel like what Rainer Maria Rilke describes as a dark interval. Describing a difficult time in his life, Rilke says it is the rest between two notes, for death wants to become the loudest tone. But in the dark interval, life and death reconcile tremblingly and get along, and the beauty of the song goes on. Our times may seem particularly grim to us, but Rilke's song just serves as a reminder and comfort that these times are, in fact, just another dark interval in which life and death must reconcile. Many of those we consider saints lived through the dark intervals of their own time and place. Their lives were often all too human and broken. Yet faith burned in them, through them, in ways that transformed their stories, often of trauma and death, into a renewed awareness of life. This past week, I heard Ron Chernow talk about his new biography on Ulysses S. Grant. Chernow said one of the questions he gets asked the most is how he chooses the subject of his next biography. Why Grant, people ask skeptically, especially since Grant typically places second to last in presidential popularity polls. Chernow explained that he looks for subjects in American history who not only contribute, but who are both ordinary and extraordinary. Who were often, as Whitman says, nothing heroic, and yet the greatest hero. After doing some research, Chernow recognized parts of Grant's life had been sorely misunderstood and often omitted. Yes, Grant did struggle with alcoholism all his life. And also, although sometimes imperfectly, he was nevertheless instrumental in helping the Union defeat the Confederacy in the Civil War and lead the country and even the South with compassion after Lincoln during the messy days of Reconstruction. Tragically, his family fell victim to a Bernie Madoff-type scheme that left them virtually destitute in the last years of his life when he was also battling throat and tongue cancer. But Grant was a brilliant tactician in the Civil War, and Chernow's research found Grant not only helped to liberate, feed, house, employ, and arm Black Americans during the war, he also led a campaign to crush the Ku Klux Klan and preside over the 15th Amendment, which gave Blacks the right to vote and protect some other rights that were being abused. Reading this biography, I couldn't help but think about the insidious racism that persists in our country. It still feels like we have a long way to go to protect and preserve individual rights for all. But Grant's story and the life narrative is the stuff of saints, because in his life and his own dark intervals, in the midst of profound death and persistent national division, there was both a transcendent power and a humanity trembling and burning in Grant that sustained him and helped him bring our country, however imperfectly, out of death into new life. In today's gospel, Jesus is in one of his dark intervals. The human and the divine are burning within him. And here the death of Lazarus wants to be the loudest tone. Jesus is greatly disturbed. He cries, but then he offers gratitude. He goes to the tomb and he raises his friend Lazarus from the dead. And here in this dark interval of the power of love and vulnerability bring life out of death. Life gets reconciled with death. And as Jesus shows us with Lazarus, we cannot underestimate the power of love and loss and vulnerability. As much as we try and resist them or get blindsided by them, we often learn from those dark intervals. And even here at St. Luke's, as we prepare for David and Pam's departure and for this time of transition, this dark interval will indeed be life-giving. It offers us an opportunity to trust God, that God will give us who and what we need. After my surgery at Mayo Clinic, and after being discharged from the hospital, I was sitting outdoors in an area known as the Peace Plaza. I remember a moment, and I'll never forget it, when I realized I had everything and everyone I needed. And in that moment of joy and gratitude, in which I just experienced loss as well, I also realized none of it was at all what I expected. There was no way I could have predicted or planned how this experience was going to play out. I just had to let go and surrendered with trust in God and in my own loss and vulnerability. Yes, this was a dark interval for me, but it gave me an experience of my life reconciling with loss. Every day since I begin lighting my little wooden matches, I want that little inner light of mine to burn and shine brightly. But sometimes the flame on that little matchstick doesn't even make it a quarter of the way down the piece of wood. And other days I have to blow it out so I don't burn my fingers. But such is life. God gives each of us the capacity and the power to love in the ordinary and the extraordinary. Whether that makes any of us saints, I do not know. But I do know that when my heart is burning, my work is sacred. At the monastery of the Society of St. John the Evangelist in Cambridge, Mass., when the bread and wine are offered to the people at communion, instead of hearing the priest say the gifts of God for the people of God, the people hear the priest say, "Behold what you are." And then the people respond, "May we become what we receive." When we become what we receive, we honor the saints and ourselves. And in the words of one of our poetic hymns, the saints lived not only in ages past. There are hundreds and thousands of us still. The world is bright with the joyous saints who love to do Jesus' will. For the saints of God are just folk like you and me, and I mean to be one too. So, today on this All Saints Sunday, may each of you behold who you are.